It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking with Wisconsin State epidemiologists now about COVID-19. That's as we navigate the new normal of living in a pandemic. And we're taking your calls. 800-642-1234. What do you think about the decrease in the number of positive coronavirus tests compared to all of the rest? Does it give you hope? Or have you not been thinking about it very much? Has it changed your behavior? What questions do you have about COVID-19? You can give us a call now at 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at WPR Mornings. Dr. Ryan Westergaard is the Chief Medical Officer and State Epidemiologist for Communicable Diseases for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Dr. Westergaard, good to have you back on the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Keely. How are you?
Good, thanks. On Tuesday, the number of positive coronavirus tests in Wisconsin, it dropped below 2% for the first time, 1.9% of the tests. But on Wednesday, yesterday, the percentage of positive tests was back up at 2.8%. What should we think about these daily fluctuations in the rate of tests that are coming back positive?
Well, I think we should be comfortable and encouraged that they are as low as they are. You know, there's certainly a period of time where it was up above 10%, and there are areas of the country where it's still that high. So we should feel good about that. In terms of the day-to-day fluctuation, we shouldn't actually read too much into it. You know, some labs have a turnaround time of a couple days. So in many cases, the test getting resulted and reported today reflect tests from yesterday, but sometimes they're from 2 to 3 days ago. So I think we just acknowledge that there's going to be a wavy line when we graph this out, and the day-to-day percent change from 2 to 3% shouldn't tell us too much.
And yet when we hear we're testing more people and fewer tests are coming back positive, there's a bit of hope there that I think creeps in, even if rationally we know that the COVID-19 spread is continuing.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Where we are in our epidemic is we're continuing to see low levels of community spread that are distributed very unequally, meaning there's some communities where it's higher. There are some hot spots in workplaces and in residential facilities. But overall, it's low, but frankly, not low enough. We still have a few thousand cases in Wisconsin every week, which is too many for us to feel like we really have it contained. We want to be in a position where new cases are rare, and when they do happen, we know where they came from and we can contain them quickly and give people recommendations about getting into isolation and quarantining contacts. At the number that they're at, even though they're somewhat lower than they had been, we're not quite there at a stage where we can do that effectively to really turn this epidemic off and feel like it's not an ongoing risk.
Well, toward the end of May, we were holding pretty steady at around 5% of coronavirus tests coming back positive. So, 2-3% does seem lower. You're saying it's just it's a different level of consistency when it comes to continued spread.
Yeah, there's a lot of different variables in play. When we look at the number of people who are severely ill, the number of people who are becoming hospitalized, that's been relatively flat. So the number of new cases as a percent also reflects how well we're doing in testing. And I think that's one of the things that we as a state have done pretty well. We've made testing more available in a lot of communities through publicly available tests where people can drive up and get a test from National Guard volunteers. A lot of hospitals have started screening new hospital admissions. So we're testing a lot of people who aren't sick. Which is a good thing. It's, if there are asymptomatic cases, so if we cast a wide net, we'll catch a large number. But the more we do that, the more we test, if the true prevalence stays the same, it's going to drive our percent positive down. So there's a lot of things that determine what that percent positive test is.
Dr. Ryan Westergaard is the Chief Medical Officer and the State Epidemiologist. He's also an Associate Professor in the Department of Medicine at UW-Madison. We're talking about the state's response in the COVID-19 pandemic, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What effect do you think these recent protests will have on the pandemic here in Wisconsin and elsewhere in the country? Do you think we'll see a second wave of COVID-19 infections this spring or this fall? How are you thinking about this disease? 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Westergaard, you mentioned asymptomatic carriers. We have had some confusion this week as the World Health Organization was talking about it. First, the WHO said asymptomatic carriers rarely spread the virus, which contradicted the CDC and others, and then the WHO walked that back. What do we know about people who don't show symptoms and whether they spread COVID-19?
Well, I agree with you. It was a confusing couple of days all around. What we know with relative certainty is that people can have high levels of the virus in their throat, in their nose, and in their respiratory secretions, meaning when they sneeze or cough, early in the case course of illness, so before they start showing symptoms. And we know that we can detect similar levels of virus among people who have the infection but never show symptoms. We also know that it is possible that those individuals can spread the virus to other people. I think the uncertainty that was reflected in the World Health Organization press conference was that as a proportion of all the new cases, all the transmission that happens, how much did people without symptoms account for new cases? And there's reasons to think that it would be less, which makes sense. People aren't sneezing and coughing. They're not having symptoms. They're not spreading those infectious particles around. And that's something we don't have enough information to say precisely, Luke, what is the risk? What percentage of people transmit virus when they're asymptomatic? So there's, I feel, relative certainty that it does happen and that that's ample justification for the recommendations we give people to be in isolation, even if they don't have symptoms, and to quarantine people who have been had a close contact or exposed to an individual. Those are really the critical interventions that we have to stop the spread. But the uncertainty about what's the overall percentage of new cases that result from asymptomatic spread still needs to work out. We need more data to know what that is.
So in Wisconsin, when it comes to testing, then we have people who do not have symptoms, who have certain exposure or suspect exposure. So they go in and they get tested and they're tested negative. As we see the number of positive cases in Wisconsin drop compared to overall testing, does that change our strategy when it comes to testing for COVID-19?
Well, I think our strategy has always been to make testing easy and accessible and widespread. So I don't think our strategy has changed. I think there's some, as we move in through the summer and into the fall, there are things that we're going to need to do more and better, which is to make it much easier for people to get a test when they have symptoms. As everyone knows, cold and flu season really starts in the fall, and there's going to be more people who have symptoms, and it's going to become increasingly important for us to know people who develop symptoms, do they have the common cold, do they have influenza, or do they have COVID-19? And the better we have a system to capture, to do those tests early, to give people the advice to keep people safe and get people in isolation, the better. So I would say we're doing pretty well right now with testing in community settings. Our next big challenge is to really figure out how we do primary health care, urgent care, emergency care differently going into the fall, where we can capture and get testing for a really high proportion of people who come in with respiratory symptoms, because the water is going to get muddied when people start getting sick with other respiratory viruses, and there's going to be a lot of value in knowing precisely when and where the coronavirus is spreading.
Does Wisconsin have a plan for that?
Yes, we're working with healthcare partners. We're working with laboratories to make sure that we have access to the necessary testing reagents. There's ongoing manufacturing of the so-called point-of-care tests, the instruments that can test for COVID-19 in an office setting or near the patient. So all those things are trying to get scaled up. And we, in healthcare systems, are looking forward to figure out the best way to put these systems in place. But, you know, this is still a new problem. The technology is developed, but it needs to be scaled up, and it's going to take some time.
Yeah, Dr. Ryan Westergaard is Wisconsin State Epidemiologist, taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you want to know about COVID-19? You're listening to this conversation on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Thanks for being with us here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking with state epidemiologist Dr. Ryan Westergaard about the latest on COVID-19 in Wisconsin. We have more than 2 million cases in the United States. The latest numbers from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services are that our state has had more than 21,000 positive tests for the disease, just over 357,000 negative tests, and 671 people in Wisconsin have died from COVID-19. What do you want to know about the state's response to this health crisis? You're part of this conversation by calling 800-642-1234. Have you been tested for COVID-19? What are you thinking about as the pandemic continues? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. And we've got Eric from Middleton on the line looking ahead. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, I'm thinking about like with summer school or like with schools in the fall, and just like what's the state doing to help schools reopen? And I mean, you know, schools they're running on a budget deficit as it is. So I mean, in terms of getting everything set up and precautions and testing, and what happens like when there's an outbreak in schools? And I mean, we've already closed schools down, so you know, I'm just concerned that we're really going to never get ahead of this thing.
Eric, thank you for that question. And Dr. Westergaard, school's just getting out now, but many people like Eric looking to the fall and wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah, thanks, Derek. I agree. It's one of our biggest challenges. When the epidemic started to spread in the country and in the region, the decision to close schools happened relatively abruptly. All of our neighboring states sort of did it over a 48-hour period, and it was out of an abundance of caution that we really didn't know how quickly or how bad this was going to go. As time has gone by and going into the fall, it's given us some time to really do the two pieces of this. One is for schools to try to figure out how to do education differently, a mix between, you know, smaller in-person classes and being able to pivot to distance learning and computer learning. It's not perfect, but I think they've learned some skills, and I know the Department of Public Instruction is trying to give districts tools on how to continue educational programs if we need to do that again. The big challenge, though, is how to make those decisions and when to give local school superintendents the best advice about when it makes sense to do that and what's the role of closing schools in the overall spread of the epidemic. And we're still working kind of on those data with, you know, CDC and modeling data to really be able to give people the best advice. But I think that what the schools are doing right now is just trying to prepare to be flexible, to do school differently. And what does it look like if we get to a situation where we need to do things differently? But I think
All right, we'll try to reconnect with Dr. Ryan Westergaard, who is helping us understand how schools are trying to plan for what happens in the fall and how the school year might look different based on the level of COVID-19 that we're seeing and how fast it travels among people. Dr. Westergaard, you still there?
I'm here, yes. Sorry, I forgot.
Excellent. No problem. It happens. It's live radio. I want to ask you about protests, though, because that's happening now. Over the past 2 weeks, there have been many protests against police brutality here in Wisconsin, I mean, and across the country following the death of George Floyd, who was killed at the hands of police in Minneapolis. How are you thinking about these protests as thousands of people were in close proximity and how it could affect how this spreads in our state?
Yeah, we're certainly watching it very closely, and I would say our priority at the state health department level and in our communication with local health departments are really giving local communities and individuals tools they need to do things safely. We've learned as things have gone on that, you know, in a situation where there's community spread, there's likely no activities that are zero risk, but there are ways to do essential things in public and do gatherings safely. And I would say we've learned a lot more in the past 2 months about the benefits of wearing face coverings and masks in public. We've become more certain that the role of physical distancing, of keeping 6 feet between people, has a major impact on reducing the likelihood of transmission. So we're trying to really focus on those key infection prevention messages that when people are doing the things that they need to do for their communities, whether it be gather in public in protest or the essential activities, to have these core prevention strategies in mind, which is, you know, staying out of close contact with other people, paying more attention to those things when you're in situations where there's loud talking or shouting or singing, and just be mindful continually of the way respiratory viruses are spread and the things we can do to prevent them.
Dr. Ryan Westergaard is the chief medical officer and state epidemiologist with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. And we're taking your calls about COVID-19 at 800-642-1234. Whether it's about the disease or how to prevent it or how you're managing life right now during a pandemic, we are taking your calls at 800-642-1234. And Dr. Westergaard, you mentioned face masks, and in southeastern Wisconsin, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley on Tuesday announced a new requirement for county employees and residents who use most county facilities to wear face masks to help stop the spread of COVID-19. What are your thoughts on public policy requiring face masks?
Well, I think it's reasonable in indoor environments, in companies and office settings, as a strategy to try to have universal precautions. And in some ways, it can be more normalizing and less stigmatizing to say that this is going to just be our normal procedure, our normal practice in a workplace or a place of business or an office, to say that this is going to be something we're committed to as a group to keep each other safe. I don't think laws in general public have been received well, or that they're a good strategy. But in local communities and office settings, I think it can be a way to really show that we care about keeping each other safe, and it's a good way to sort of take some of the discussion or opinions or feelings out of it, to say, here, this is something we're doing as a community group or as an organization to lower our risk collectively.
Would it be fair to say you think that it would take the politics out of the decision?
I think so. I think if a group of people have come together around a mission in their workplace or their organization, and they say we're going to all do this regardless of our personal feelings, what we do outside, I think it's a way to move forward and feel comfortable that we're doing this as with a shared sense of purpose, rather than having people make individual decisions. So I've seen in organizations and workplace that work well.
All right. David from Boscobel is on the line, wants to join our conversation. David, what's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, I have a question for your guest about antibody testing. You don't really hear about it anymore, and wondering when on request antibody testing is available. I run a small company. We're looking to bring all of our employees back into our office, and we contacted two different medical centers to see if we could get antibody testing done to see if any of our employees have the antibodies, and we cannot get anybody to do it. And, early on that was talked about as, one of the most important things that we could ever get to is antibody testing besides a vaccination, and now you hear nothing about it. And it's very frustrating for me as an employer and for our employees, or just in general, someone who cares for elderly sick people, to know if they're exposing, if they have the antibodies, so they're not exposing these at-risk individuals. So I appreciate your feedback. Thank you.
David, thanks for the question. Dr. Westergaard, what about antibody testing and availability in Wisconsin?
Yes, it's a terrific question. There's been a lot of information, a lot of hope, but a number of concerns that I think it's important for people to understand. So the two issues with antibody testing, and of course, for those that don't know, antibodies are the proteins that your body makes in response to an infection. So it's a different kind of test compared to the one that tells us whether you have the infection. It actually tells us whether someone's been infected in the past. So it can be potentially useful to say who's been exposed, who's been infected, and potentially recovered. The two problems is it was initially when the antibody tests were developed and came out, they didn't work very well. They cross-react, meaning they were turned positive for a lot of people that never had COVID-19, and that's something that's true of antibody tests. They aren't necessarily specific to the infection that we care about. The other thing, and I think this is a more important consideration, is that we don't yet know, we don't have enough research to know how well having an antibody makes someone safe or protected or immune from getting the infection. There are lots of infectious diseases where someone can have antibodies in their blood and they're still at risk to getting infection a second time. There are, of course, other diseases, the ones we use vaccines for, where antibodies do protect you, sometimes lifelong. But it's too early for us to know whether having an antibody actually makes somebody safe from being infected or infecting. So I think that's really the limitation of antibody testing right now, and the reason that we're not recommending it be a part of the the decisions about going back to work.
Being with Dr. Ryan Westergaard, who's the chief medical officer and state epidemiologist. And we were just talking about antibody testing and whether that would be an option or an available option here in Wisconsin to figure out if people have had COVID-19. It sounds like we've lost the connection as we're wrapping up our conversation. So certainly want to thank Dr. Ryan Westergaard for being with us and catching us up on the latest when it comes to the state's response to COVID-19. We've talked about the numbers in Wisconsin, how those are changing, how we should think about those, and what we should do with that information as we figure out how to live life during a pandemic. Dr. Ryan Westergaard, Chief Medical Officer, State Epidemiologist for Communicable Diseases for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. He's also an Associate Professor in the Department of Medicine at UW-Madison. Up next is news. Then we'll find out from a pair of delivery drivers what it's like to bring food, whether it's groceries or restaurant takeout, to your door during a pandemic. I'm Keely Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.